Great to have you here tonight, and it's good to be with you as we bring an end to our day and to this Ash Wednesday. I'd like to take a moment to review the day with you and give you a biblical context. And then I want to wrap this up by ushering you into tomorrow and the rest of Lent. And to do both, I would like to invite you to imagine renovating your home, gutting it on the inside, tearing down walls and insulation right to the studs. Imagine taking out the refrigerator, the dishwasher, the stove, the bathroom fixtures, everything, the walls, everything. Right down to the bare bones. Imagine going to your lowest level and doing the same down there so that the foundation is exposed. Just imagine finding a crack somewhere in that foundation, big enough for the creatures of God that belong outside to find their way in. Imagine another part of that foundation that's experiencing some deterioration. If concrete can rot, rotting concrete. Imagine what'll happen if you build new walls, remodel an upstairs, a living room, family room, kitchen, dining room, sleeping areas, without repairing that crack or that deteriorating foundation. Everything you build is going to collapse. Fall in on itself. Now imagine entering Lent the same way, because the invitation of our God is to be willing to strip everything so bare that you can see the foundation of your life, of this temple of the Holy Spirit that you are. And can you muster up the courage to look at the cracks in the foundation that you are? Are there parts that are deteriorating? For if we don't do the repairs there, then the temple of the Holy Spirit, that's you and that's me, will also crumble and fall apart. To do that repairing, we have to slow down. To do that repairing, we have to take an adequate assessment. Get out of our routine so that we can look and look closely. To adequately do the repairs, we have to admit that we have been looking for fulfillment in wrong places. To adequately do the repairs, we must listen to a God who's calling us back. And friends, I discovered a few weeks ago, praying with these scriptures, a loud call. For me, that loud call came in the second reading that Teresa so beautifully proclaimed. And that phrase of Paul that said, "He who knew no sin was made sin for us." He who knew no sin was made sin for us. That's Jesus, and that's his love, and the Father's love for us. You see, knowing that love gives me the courage to do that self-assessment and then enter into a season where I allow the Lord to do the repairing and the rebuilding. Did you fast today? Was it hard? Full disclosure, it was for me. Full disclosure, I skip lunch on a regular basis. I'll eat breakfast, a big breakfast, and a big supper. It's my way of losing weight. And I don't mind it. I can work and get through a day without even thinking about eating till about 5 o'clock. And right now, I'm really hungry. Today, though, about mid-afternoon, I felt the stomach. I heard the groaning. Conscious of the fact I had to fast, I was mindful of the fact that I was hungry and it wasn't a pleasant spot to be in. But it's precisely the spot that the Lord put me. And if you experience the same thing, He put you in exactly the same spot to hear that call to come back to Him. If you fasted today, you have lived in solidarity with Christians throughout the world, and Catholics in particular. We have lived in solidarity, admitting communally, together, that we're aware of our sin and we are aware of our need to come back, as well as the need of everybody else. To be authentic, though, the inward desire has to match the outward reality. And if that did for you, then you have taken the prophet's words to heart even before you heard them. Blow the trumpets, call an assembly, gather people together. And if you've done that, the signing of ashes is going to have the fullest meaning possible. Because the signing of ourselves with ashes means we have an internal desire and an external expression to repent, to turn back to the Lord. And secondly, that we are also painfully aware of our mortality. That's today, the day we're wrapping up. Did you notice a contradiction in the scriptures? The prophet Joel said to fast publicly, and Jesus says, fast privately, pray privately, do alms privately. What are you supposed to do? The public stuff or the private stuff? Well, actually both. The public stuff was for today. But tomorrow, we do what we do in a private way. Jesus does not say if you pray, but He says when you pray. And prayer is essential if we're going to allow the cracks to be filled and the weakened foundation to be strengthened again, and for this house to be built solidly. Pray we must, the kind of prayer where we're sitting back and listening to the Lord speak to us. Words of healing or forgiveness or direction. I encourage you to do it. And give serious thought to coming to the Adoration Chapel. That chapel is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We secure the building before we go home, but there's a way to give you access to come in after it's locked and to make sure you're safe while you're here. If you want the passcode to come in, I'm happy to give it to you. If that helps you come and spend some quiet time here in prayer. As little as 5 minutes, as much as an hour, and anything in between. Jesus says if we're going to open ourselves up to this repairing, we must fast too. He doesn't say if you fast. He said you must fast. Fast so that we stand in solidarity with those who are hungry all the time. And to be aware of that hunger. And to let that hunger turn us back to the Lord like it did today. He doesn't say if you fast, but rather when you fast. And when you fast, be aware of those disordered attractions that you have to pleasure. We live in a culture that is saturated and tries to saturate us in pleasure. Not that pleasure in itself is bad, but too much is bad. We can become disordered. And we're bombarded with ways to be disorderly pleasurable people. Fasting puts that back on track. And lastly, he says, when you give alms, not if you give alms. The word is when you give alms. Taking what has been given to us and sharing it with our sisters and brothers in need is an essential task to listening to that call to come back or come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. It's like we let go of our possessions. If I possess this book and this book or anything else they symbolize, my hands can be so filled, my back can get sore with the weight of these things I possess, that I don't have the possibility to reach out to you. But if I can take these possessions and hand them off, then I'm free to love in that fullest way possible. There will be opportunities this Lent to give alms individually and collectively. Why do we do it? Because he who became sin for us is calling us to that eternal life that his dying and rising has opened us up for. Come back tomorrow, 6:45, for a half hour mass before work or school. Come to stations, and we'll share some other ways to enter into this season.